In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So this morning I want to concentrate on one verse, and that is verse 21. And verse 21 has an interesting phrase. It says, "But we had hoped." But we had hoped. On this third Sunday of Easter, we find ourselves travelling a road that's uncomfortably familiar. Every one of us, regardless of our identity, regardless of our circumstance, know this road. We've all walked on it. We've all lost our way on it. We've left it behind and we've returned back to it again. And that road is the road to Emmaus. And we recognize it every time by the words that we speak. But we had hoped. But we had hoped the tumor wasn't malignant. We had hoped our marriage would have got easier. We had hoped the depression would have lifted. We had hoped to keep our jobs. We had hoped to carry the baby full term. We had hoped for a peaceful death. We had hoped to experience God's presence when we pray. We had hoped our faith would survive. The words we speak on the road to Emmaus are words of pain. They're words of discouragement. They're words of disappointment. They're words of bewilderment. They're words of yearning. They're words we say when we've come to the end of our hopes, when our expectations have been dashed, when our cherished dreams are dead and there's nothing left to do but leave defeated and done. But we had hoped. In our gospel story this week, Cleopas and his unnamed companion says these words to the stranger who appears alongside of them as they walk the Emmaus road on that Easter evening. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Jesus, as far as they know, is dead. The Lord that they bet their lives on, the Messiah that they thought was going to change the world, he has died the most humiliating and godless death imaginable. And his promise of a new kingdom has come to nothing. How utterly have things simply just fallen apart. But we had hoped for much more. Here's what is surprising. The Emmaus Road story is an Easter story. According to Luke's Gospel, it happens on Resurrection Sunday, on the very day that we traditionally would pack our churches and sing our hallelujahs. On that day, the road to Emmaus stretches out ahead of us, offering defeat, disillusionment, and misrecognition. Which is to say something, that sometimes resurrection takes longer than 3 days. Sometimes new life comes in fits and starts. Sometimes seeing and recognizing the risen Christ is hard. This year, as the COVID virus crisis continues to wreak havoc around the world, I'm grateful for the honest witness of this post-resurrection story. I'm grateful that the journey continues into Easter evening, when hope is possible, but it's yet realized. I'm grateful that even the road to Emmaus, the road of brokenness, the road of failure, I'm grateful this morning that that road is a sacred road. It's a road that Jesus walks, a road that honors our deep disappointment, even as it holds our possibilities of nourishment and possibilities of revelation. As we reflect on this gospel for this week, isn't it striking how much the Emmaus narrative reveals about the heart and the character of Jesus? Once again, we're reminded that Jesus is not who we think he is. Who is this would-be stranger that is on the broken road? How does he respond when all appears lost? What does he do for the weary and the defeated? They're good questions to ask this morning. Here's what I noticed in our gospel reading this week. I've noticed a quiet resurrection. One would think that a God who suffers a torturous and wholly unjust death would come back with a vengeance. That he would be a God who was determined to shout his triumph from the rooftops and prove his accusers and his murderers as wrong. But Jesus doesn't do anything like that. He does nothing as such. As far as we know, he doesn't enter the temple and make a scene. He doesn't appear to the Sanhedrin or show up at Pilate's house. He doesn't set the sky ablaze like with fireworks or with you know, sulfur and thunder. He does none of those things. He makes absolutely no effort to vindicate himself or to avenge his cruel death. Instead, on the evening of his greatest victory, the risen Christ takes a walk. And when he notices two of his followers on the road walking ahead of him, Jesus is so gentle, so understanding, and so ordinary that they don't even recognize him. This is not what we want from a resurrected Christ. But we had hoped he would be more dramatic, that he would be more convincing. We had hoped he'd make our post-Easter faith easier. Part of the disappointment we face on the road to Emmaus is the disappointment of a quiet resurrection. Here's the second thing I noticed in our gospel reading this week. I noticed the freedom to leave. When the travellers reach Emmaus, Jesus gives them the option to continue on without him. Do they want him to stay? Are they willing to risk hosting a stranger in their home? Do they wish to go deeper with this man who makes their hearts burn? Or are they content to leave the encounter where it stands and return to their ordinary lives without ever learning more? Good questions this morning. What would have happened if Cleopas and his companion said goodbye to Jesus on that road? How would their story have ended if Jesus had walked away? The Messiah they thought they knew and loved would have remained a stranger. The joy of resurrection would not have been theirs. Their hearts would not have burned. It's always surprising and frustrating how Jesus is totally committed to our freedom. He will not impose. He will not overpower. He will not coerce. He will always give us the time and the space and the freedom to decide what we really want. Do we desire to go deeper? Are we ready to get off the road of our failures? Are we ready to get off the road of our defeats? Are we willing to let the guest become a host? Do we really want to know who the stranger is? Stay with us. That's what Cleopas and his companion said to Jesus. Stay with us. It's an invitation. It's a welcome. Today, that's the words a patient Jesus, a very patient Jesus, is waiting to hear from you and from me. Finally, here's the third thing that I noticed in our gospel this week. I noticed the smallest things. Once Jesus and his companions are seated around the table, Jesus breaks bread. He takes it, he blesses it, he breaks it, and he gives. So small a thing that it changes everything. So during these hard days of self-isolation and physical distancing, and as we hear the media's horrific stories of death and suffering, stories that hype up future fears and individuals and families and communities, it's difficult this morning to trust in the transformative power of the small things, like a bit of bread, like a sip of wine, like a common table and a shared meal. But the Emmaus story this morning speaks of this power. The power of the divine is revealed in a small and the commonplace. In the small and the commonplace. God shows up during a quiet evening walk on a backwater road. God is made known around our dining tables. God reveals himself when we take, bless, break, and give. God is present in the rhythms and the rituals of our seemingly ordinary days. So what does this mean for us right now as we are in self-isolation and social distancing? It means God is in the text that you send to the lonely neighbour, the one you can't visit during this quarantine time. It means that God appears in the live streaming worship service that you watch, that God is in the phone call and the greeting card that you received or the one you sent. Jesus is the stranger you see across the street when you're walking your dog, both of you smiling beneath your protective masks. The sacred moment is in the conversation you have with your stir-crazy husband, or your stir-crazy wife, whichever the case may be, or your stir-crazy children. Or the sacred moment is in the technology that you're attempting to master so that you can be part and participate in the worship services. So you can talk to your friends or family across distances. God is in all these sacred moments, these conversations. The road to Emmaus challenges us to reframe the story that these days have brought to us, these days of self-isolation and social distancing. And it challenges us to view them in the light of God's unfathomable provision and love. If the Emmaus story tells us anything, it tells us that the risen Christ is not confined in any way by the seemingly smallness of our lives. So, here's the big idea today. Wherever and whenever we make room, Jesus will come in and fellowship. Let me say that again. Wherever and whenever we make room, Jesus will come in and fellowship. But we had hoped. Yes, we had. So very many things are different right now than we had hoped they'd be. And yet, the stranger who is the Saviour still meets us on the lonely road to Emmaus. The guest who becomes our host still nourishes us with his presence this morning. So keep walking. Christ is risen. He is no less risen on the road to Emmaus than anywhere else. So look for him. Listen for him. And when he lingers at your door, honoring your freedom, but yearning to feed you, my prayer for you this morning is that you would say what he longs to hear from you. And that is, stay with me.